Well, if you would take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4, if you've got a Bible with you. If not, we'll have it on the screen. Mark chapter 4. And we're going to do something this morning that I don't know that I've ever personally done before. And we're going to look at, so the next passage for us this morning is Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, and we're going to look at that story this morning just briefly in our text, but we're going to dive into some other portions of the text before we really take this passage head on. And the reason is I'd like for us to kind of get an idea of what's happening here in this passage and with the parables of Christ before we start jumping into the parables. And so this passage, this last week, was just a blessing to me in studying it out and looking at the various truths. And me personally, I have often been confused when studying not the specific interpretations of the parables. There's different, sometimes when you get into the parables, there's like different interpretations and people might, you know, have different ideas and all of that. But what I'm talking about this morning is the whole idea of the parables to begin with. Why is it that Jesus used parables? I mean, why is it that Jesus came up and he stood up with these messages that were really based on life as they knew it in this day? A very common picture of someone getting up, going out into the field and spreading seed. Something that the people in this day would have very much understood. And yet to have a spiritual emphasis, a spiritual message behind it. Okay, Jesus, why is it that you, in a sense, obscured the message? Is it that you did not want people to understand what you were communicating? We might think that initially, and yet in the passage, well, for example, this statement, which we'll read here in just a minute, where Jesus said to the disciples, he says, to you it's been given the secret of the kingdom of God. And then he quotes, makes a statement from the book of Isaiah. To the outside, everything's been given in parables, that they may indeed see but not perceive, that they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Okay, so the whole reason that Jesus gave the parables is it so that the message that he wanted to communicate, the truths that he was communicating, was it so that it would be obscured so that people would not understand it? That's something that we might think from the outset until we get, for example, into the context of this statement that he makes from the book of Isaiah, what Isaiah was saying, some other awesome things in this passage. And so we're going to go ahead and read, starting there in verse number 1 in chapter 4, where the Bible says, again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. If you remember a couple weeks ago, Jesus had one of his disciples get an escape vehicle ready on the water so he can escape him as people were pressing all around him. And in this story, Jesus does actually get into the boat, and in typical rabbinical order or style, he sat down in the boat, and there from the boat, he proceeded to speak to the crowds who were standing on the shore, to speak to them, this great multitude. And we find that in verse number 1. Verse number 2 says, And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And notice in verse number 10, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12. So it wasn't just the 12, but it was those around him with the 12. And I lost my place. Asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But to those outside, everything is in parables. And here's where he makes that statement. So that they might indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Now, how many of us from the outset, especially the last two or three verses, were like, okay, Jesus, you were giving these parables and these truths, and your whole objective was to hide the message that these people needed to hear? You actually wanted your truth to be held back? Is that really what he's saying? Now, how many of us, this passage, we come across this passage, honestly, and we're like, okay, Jesus, what? Because in the beginning of the passage, we find this sower goes out to sow. Does a sower go out with the intent of that seed not producing? This isn't a trick question, okay? You know, I mean, is the whole objective, okay, I just want all this seed to be wasted? You know, if Jesus or the one that's bearing the truth is the one that's sowing the seed, you know, does he go out with the idea, I hope that nothing comes from this? Okay, so there's got to be a way, okay, what Jesus is saying here in this passage, it must not be that he doesn't want people to understand, but rather that he does. We at least get that in the undercurrent of this passage. So what is this idea of obscuring the message, or, I don't want to get ahead of myself, speaking to these people that they may indeed see but not perceive, and indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. I mean, what was Jesus talking about here? Before we get into the message, let's go ahead and pray, and just pray that God would bless this time and help us to understand his word. God, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, and we thank you for this time to be able to meet together. We give this time to you. God, we thank you for the time already in fellowship, and as we have sung, God, I pray that you would continue to direct our hearts toward you. And I pray that as we see this passage, God, that it would stir our hearts. Every time that we hear your truth, God, may it stir our hearts that we seek you out in a greater way. God, that we might be drawn in by your beauty, by the beauty of your truth. God, I pray that it would stir curiosity in our minds, that we might have more receptive hearts. God, we give this time to you, and we thank you for it. God, we pray that you would touch and heal those that are sick. God, we pray that you would raise them up, and that these would get over COVID, other various sicknesses. God, we pray that you would raise them up and bring them back to full health quickly. God, for Jenny, who is recovering from shoulder surgery, God, we give her to you. We pray that you would just bless her recovery. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. God, we do ask that you would bless this time even now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Decades ago, I want to say that it was back in the early 80s, if I remember correctly, near the village of, let me try to see if I can get this right, Xi'an, Baikun in China. So in China, there are some caves. They're called the Longyu Caves. They are man-made caves, and in China, they are considered the ninth wonder of the ancient world. And we could throw a picture of this, and I don't know how well you can see that. Beautiful, beautiful caves, several caves that are located in this group together. They date back over 2,000 years. They were found about four decades ago, I believe it was, maybe three decades. But over 2,000 years ago, man-made caves, somewhere between, they're thinking between 2,500 and 2,800 years ago, and they were just recently discovered. Okay, they are one of the largest underground excavations of ancient times. And scientists from around the world of archaeology, architecture, engineering, and geology have no idea where they came from, who built them, and why? Now, if you're like me, you like this kind of stuff. You're like, you know, history. I used to not like history when I was in school, and now I see something like this, and, you know, pretty cool to see something like this. Okay, here's the date for you. It was discovered back in 1992 by a local villager, and each of these, and they call them grottos. Okay, so each of these grottos, one of which you see here, descends around 40 yards, and it contains stone rooms, bridges, gutters, and pools. There are pillars that are evenly spaced throughout each of these, supporting the roof and all of that. Inside this one particular one, they've opened this one for tourism, only this one, and it's got carvings inside. It's got the depiction of a horse, a fish, a bird, etc., and some pretty cool artwork. And so there are many questions that are being asked about these particular caves, which are man-made. Again, 2,500 years ago. I'm not very good with history, but as far as I know, they didn't have jackhammers at the time. You know, they didn't have excavators. And so here's some of the questions. Number one, how were they constructed? How? How were they constructed? Between the digging, removing the rock, the precision of the excavation, of taking all this rock out, estimated 1 million cubic meters of stone. And one part of the article, it said it would have taken at least 1,000 men 6 years to complete something like this. Number two, why were the walls chiseled? I don't know how well you can see it, but the walls, you can see it on the pillars here. They are chiseled with this, you know, particular design. And why is it that there are grooves on the walls and on the ceiling and on these pillars? Number three, how have they been so well preserved, being over 2,000 years old? Number four, how did the builders work in the dark? And listen, they haven't found any tools. They haven't found any way that these men would have had the light that they needed, because the angle of these caves, that it would have had very minimal daylight, and the daylight that they would have had would have only lasted a very short portion of the day. Number five, who built them? Only the emperor and the leaders would have been able to organize such a project, but there's no historical records that would tell us anyone doing anything with these or organizing this. Number six, how did they achieve such precision? The walls are straight, the chiseling marks are uniform, the caves are so close together. Okay, these divided caves, these different caves, they're so close together, the width of the walls between them are perfect. They are exact, the same distance from cave to cave. But how were they not, how is it that there's no holes, you know, all of that? The thickness is uniform, I guess is what I'm saying. And then, probably one of the greatest questions, what were they used for? Because it would have taken a long time for these caves to be developed. All of these questions, and if you're someone like me, you hear something like this and you're just intrigued. You're like, it draws you in. Where did these come from? How were they made? Etc., etc., etc. The questions continue and continue and continue. Mysteries or secrets, as Jesus uses the word here. Mysteries in the Bible are called mysteries not because they are difficult to understand per se, but rather because their meaning is not understood by the majority of people. Ray Stedman calls these mysteries the missing pieces of the jigsaw puzzle of life. How many of us recognize when it comes to God's truth, we need help understanding God's truth? We do not come to it naturally. We didn't wake up one day and all the truth about God and what life is all about did not just come to us naturally one day through osmosis or any particular. The jigsaw puzzles of life. My family, for the most part, not everyone in my family, but we love to put together jigsaw puzzles. And there was one that we got a number of, let's see, how long ago was this? I'm trying to remember. There was one that we put together. It was basically a map of the world. That's not it. It was a map of the world. And I tell you what, some of the most frustrating parts of this puzzle was when we got to the oceans. If you want to play a cruel trick, buy someone a puzzle that's one solid color. Do you know that they have those? That's a great gag gift. This is one that we started. We got this done in about 1 week's time. This is the Magic Kingdom down at Disney World in Florida. Got it together in 1 week's time. I didn't ask my family if I would have their permission to put this up there because I know that they wouldn't, so I just put it up there without them knowing it. But anyways, the missing puzzle pieces of life. There are mysteries, there are things about life and what life is all about, God's truth, that we need his help on in order to understand. And as we come to a parable like this, it is the exact same way. Notice here in our text, in verse number 11, right there in the first part, Jesus is speaking and he says, to you has been given the secret, and notice this, of the kingdom of God. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Notice to whom Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to his disciples. By the way, I love the fact that this is not just the 12 disciples. What I think is really cool here in this passage is that as Jesus kicks off, he starts using these parables. It wasn't just the 12 that was surrounding him, asking him about this. It was anyone who wanted to come to Jesus humbly asking him for the interpretation of this parable, the parable of the sower, where he goes around, he scatters seed, and Jesus, what is this about? And I love the fact that there are several people here that we don't even know who they are. These disciples, these hearers, they listen to Jesus, they accept his authority, who he is, and to them is given the mystery or the secret of the kingdom of God. And this is very simple here, what we see here in this passage. The idea here is if one wants to understand the truths of which Jesus is speaking, they must ponder the parable, ponder the message, confess their ignorance, and then come to Jesus and come to an understanding by coming humbly to Jesus. And isn't, I know this is kind of a simple concept here, but isn't this how truth works, how God's truth works? It's interesting, here on this earth, we have never had so many answers today as we do today. We've got so many books and so many books coming out week by week and year by year. We've got our scientists, we've got our philosophers, we've got our psychologists, psychiatrists or sociologists. But how many of us would agree that for the most part, mankind is missing the vital piece of information, the vital piece of the puzzle to make sense of life? And as far as the grand work of what God is doing today in the world, in our lives, in his kingdom, I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. Paul writes and he says, the natural man, if we could throw that, if you have that passage, I don't know if you do, 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural person or the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly or foolishness to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Do you know that before you put your faith and trust in Christ, before you recognize Jesus for who he is, and came to him empty-handed, you and I could not understand the mysteries of God's truth. We could not have understood God's truth without him, basically, is what I'm saying here. In fact, as you and I read the Bible, this holds true for us today, day by day. As we read the Bible day by day, we must come to God humbly and submissively and say, God, I cannot understand your truth by myself. I'm coming to you because I need your understanding. I love what we have here in this passage. As those who did not understand what Jesus was saying came to him humbly and said, What are you telling us? Okay, this is a common picture that we have here, this sower going out to sow. And okay, yeah, we've seen how seed goes to various places, and sometimes it springs up quickly, sometimes it doesn't spring up at all, sometimes the birds come by and eat it. I understand this picture, but what is it that you're saying? The mystery of the kingdom of God, the secret of God's kingdom, as Jesus said. But what is the secret of the kingdom of God specifically? The kingdom of God is what God is doing in history, his eternal plan and purpose as it unfolds today. Do you know that what we see here in the world today, it's not like God just kind of spun this world in motion and now he's stepping back and just kind of watching it all unravel. God is totally and completely at work in this world today. His purpose is being unfolded no matter what we might see on the news, no matter what might happen in an election. How many of us recognize this morning that God's purpose is being unfolded? How is it that God is working in the world today? Ray Stedman said this, according to Scripture, God is working out his eternal plan in history, and nothing happens that God does not touch and arrange into a magnificent tapestry of time and space, purpose and meaning. He knows the end from the beginning, and nothing happens anywhere in the universe without his express permission or active instigation. He is the king, and the king is hardly irrelevant to his kingdom. In fact, he is the most relevant and important fact in all the universe. I know this might seem kind of detached from what Jesus said in the parables, and we might say, okay, how is it that this whole kingdom here fits in, you know, the kingdom of God fits in with this parable? Jesus spoke, and he said, this parable explains the mystery of the kingdom of God, what God is doing in the world today. And how many of us recognize that the main thing that God is doing in this world today is drawing men and women to him by faith? That's what God is doing. Okay, so Jesus, what's the whole purpose of what you're talking about here? Notice with me, number one, to receive God's truth. Here's the picture that we have here in this passage. To receive God's truth, I must come humbly to Jesus. The fact of the matter is when these people who heard the message that Jesus had prepared, when they came to Jesus humbly asking for what the interpretation was, as we see in the passage to come, as we'll see, Lord willing, next Sunday, as we'll see in the passage to come, they receive that answer from Jesus. And the exact same thing happens today. As we come to God and his word, seeking out his truth, he is the one that gives us understanding. To receive God's truth, I must come humbly to Jesus. Now notice in verse number 12, okay, why is it that Jesus is giving these parables? And notice here that Jesus says to those that are on the outside, these parables, the kingdom of God, etc., they are given so that, and notice in verse number 12, that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Now that sounds kind of cruel from the beginning, doesn't it? It's like, okay, God, are you withholding your truth? I mean, are you trying to keep your truth back from people? Does it sound like there are some people that Jesus does not want to accept who he is or his truth? And of course not. Jesus' heart toward mankind, toward all people, is that we would, as a whole, accept his truth about who he is, etc., etc. So what is happening here in this passage? Mark's account of this story is highly condensed. And as we've already mentioned, Jesus here in this passage, he is quoting from Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. If you want to look that up later, you can go ahead and do that. Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. But Matthew, in this past, in his account of this story here, he gives a more of a an expanded version of all that happens here. And notice here in Matthew 13, 15, here's what Matthew says. And he gives a bigger quotation from Jesus in this passage from the book of Isaiah. Notice this statement here. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Now here's what I see happening in this passage. Jesus is not saying, I'm speaking in parables so that Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled. What he's saying here in this passage is, I'm speaking in parables because Isaiah's prophecy is right now being fulfilled. And why was it that that these people of whom Isaiah spoke, that they were not hearing the truth? As we see here in the book of Matthew, in this more expanded quotation that Matthew gives of Jesus, the people, the reason that this is happening here is because the hearts of the people are calloused. Do you see that? What does he say there? In verse number 15, it says, for this people's heart has what? Grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. And what Jesus is saying here is this. These people, this is their heart's condition, and this is what's happening. I'm going out here, I'm like this sower, I'm scattering the seed, and yet because of their heart's condition, this is what's happening. I still go out and I want to labor, and yet this is their heart's condition. Rodney Cooper, he says this, parables hide the truth from those who do not seek truth, and there's a reason we'll talk about here in just a second, but they reveal truth to those who seek it. What is the whole point and purpose here, or what is the way that we understand God's truth? What did the small group do with Jesus, those disciples around him? They came to him and they said, Jesus, we don't understand this. Please tell us what you're talking about. And it's the same way for us today. For us to understand God's truth, we must come humbly to Jesus and seek it out. And notice this here in verse number 21 of Mark chapter 4. We've got it ready on the screen there. Okay. And again, we're kind of skipping around here. We're not looking into the interpretation here of this passage, of this parable just yet. Notice here in verse number 21. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? And this is kind of common sense here. Jesus is saying in so many words, the purpose of light, the purpose of truth is to reveal. And Jesus has come to reveal God's truth. And here's a key to understanding this passage. Notice here in verse number 22. For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let me read that once again. For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. What Jesus says here is a paradox, a statement that seems contradictory, and yet when you think about it, when you study it out, it is actually true. Here's what Jesus is saying. I'm hiding the truth so that it might be more visible. Now, how many of us are just as confused as when we started here a little bit ago? Jesus is saying, I'm hiding the truth so that it might be more visible. And what we have here is a paradox. How many of us, when we get up in the middle of the night, because I'm getting older and I know that we do this, and what is it that we get up in the night to do? It's okay, we're in church, we can say it, all right? You got to get up and you got to, what? Go to the bathroom. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing, isn't it? And so you get up at like 2:30, 3 in the morning, whatever it is, and you get up, you know, and you make your way to the bathroom, and you try not to stub your toe on all the, and you make your way, and Let me just ask you this morning, when you get into the bathroom, you turn all the lights on, all the lights are blazing, and if you have any hope of going back to sleep, that is not what you do. You get up, and if you're like us, you don't turn anything on because you've got a nightlight, right? You got your nightlight in there, it comes on automatically, you come in, and you do your business and all of that. You do not turn the lights all on, full on. Why? Because it would be harder to see. So you don't crank everything on. You've got a little nightlight there to give you just enough light. You know, your eyes haven't adjusted, and it gives you just enough light for you to know what you're doing. You get things done, and sorry for the illustration, but because if the light was fully on, you would not be able to see. Jesus came, and his truth is so brilliant, so intense, that people cannot absorb it directly. So what does he do? Jesus dims the light. It's not that he doesn't want people to know and understand. He dims the light so that people can understand. In other words, Jesus, he wraps his message in stories, enabling his listeners to hear, those that have receptive hearts, to understand his meaning. Notice the statement by Ray Stedman. Jesus knew that people would grasp the truth more readily if he cloaked it in a parable. So Jesus did not hide the truth or veil the truth or dim the light so that people could not see, but rather so they could. Because he knew that to speak his truth directly, it would be more than they can handle. Proverbs 25:2, the Bible says this: it is the glory of God to conceal things. And if you're anything like me, it's a delight to discover things. If you hear a mystery like the one that I talked about at the beginning, you're like, you're racking your brain. You're like, okay, was this used for troops? Was this used as a storehouse? Was this used as, I mean, what was this used for? How did this come about? You know, these chisel marks, these walls and these perfect angles and these close walls and how did they, what kind of equipment did they have? What kind of light did they have? And if you're anything like me, you love to uncover things if you have a curious mind like I do. How did this come about? And what I see here happening in this passage is that Jesus does not dim the light so that people would be withheld from the truth, so that they would not receive the truth, but rather that it would stir their curiosity, that they would be able to receive it, that they would come to Jesus and humbly confess, Jesus, I don't understand this. Help me to understand this. In other words, it would whet their appetite so that they would seek out even more. God loves to conceal truth, and there's something in mankind that stirs us. We love to seek it out. God whets our appetite, as it were, and he does this both in nature and in spiritual things. I think about my kids. I love watching them discover various beauties and pursue after it. So Molly, she's really gotten into playing the violin. And so, like, at night before me and Jessica go to bed, you know, we'll be sitting there in the living room, and, you know, Molly's door is just open just enough to where we basically get, what is the word, serenade? She serenades us, like at night. Katie, she recently asked for a telescope for Christmas. You know, she's got on an iPad, we've got one of those apps where you can look at the stars, and whatever angle that you put it at, it'll tell you where the constellations are and where the stars are, and it's really cool. And she's gone out there several times. You know, she'll have an iPad and see what things are. Annie loves art, whether drawing on paper or on a computer, like with a drawing pad. She loves art. Logan, we don't know where he's at. What we do know about Logan is that the more sound effects he makes, the more he is enjoying what he's doing. So whether it's playing, you know, with Hot Wheels cars or whatever it is. But the beauty of these things, of God's creation, it draws my kids in. And it's been awesome. It's been awesome to see that. And the same thing is true about God's truth. One man said this, that God doesn't conceal truth behind concrete barriers, but behind gauzy, silken layers of intrigue, mystery, and fascination. God, in other words, God hides his truth to stir our curiosity, to draw us in. What's happening here? Jesus, the one that's created the entire world, he's using the beauty of these stories to draw people to himself, that they might seek him out and that they might say, what's the idea behind this story that you've told us? Give us the understanding. And what we have here is a beautiful thing. The Creator speaking to his creation, and those with sensitive hearts being drawn into their Creator. Something awesome happens. I want to say, if it's every year, if I'm understanding this correctly, on Christmas Island, which is an Australian territory, this year 65 million red crabs have begun their 13-mile trek from the tropical forest to the sea. Let's throw a picture up there real quick. 65 million. Go throw the next picture up there. Pretty cool. I don't know how well you can see that. See that one on the bottom? It's like all up close and personal. According to the Christmas Island National Parks manager, each year the red crabs make their annual pilgrimage from the forest plateau down to the sea to mate and spawn. And here's what the article said. In perfect synchronicity with nature, the red crab's annual migration is triggered by the onset of the wet season. At first rainfall, the crabs set off on their 20-kilometer journey. It happened this year on October 29th. That's pretty cool. What we have here in this passage is Jesus as the Creator giving this story, stirring curiosity. And for the one that has a listening ear, drawing them in. Jesus did not conceal the truth so that people would not accept it. Rather, he concealed the truth so that it would be, so that they could see it. And so that it would stir their hearts, so it would draw them in. Jesus did not conceal in the parables because he didn't want mankind to hear. He said, this is their heart right now. And Isaiah has prophesied it. I'm not saying parables right now so that this happens. I'm saying this right now because their hearts are hard, and I want to give them a message where they can receive it. And I love this part of the story where it tells us that these people here, these disciples, in addition to the 12, are around Jesus, and they're being drawn in by this truth. Notice in verse number 24, Jesus says, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. In other words, faithfully steward the truth. Here's what Jesus is saying. If you search for truth, particularly truth in the scriptures, you will find more truth than you can possibly imagine. How many of us, by getting into the Word of God, we're drawn in, we see the beauty, and that beauty stirs within us more of a hunger and thirst for what we find here in the pages of the Bible. It draws us in, and we have discovered more truth than we can possibly imagine. It didn't happen all at once. Line upon line, truth upon truth. God is growing us and giving this knowledge ultimately of him. And yet, as Jesus says in this passage, the opposite is true also. If you do not use what you have, you will lose it. In other words, Jesus wants his listeners to hear, to understand, and obey the truth that he is communicating. Those who have open hearts will be able to receive the truth while others cast it off, losing the benefit of that truth. Notice with me our second point this morning. Jesus conceals truth, not so that it would be missed, but that it might be received. That it might be received. Jesus, what's the whole point and purpose of your parables? Is that so his message would be received. Can I tell you this morning? No one wants you to receive God's truth any more than God does. Whatever desire that you and I might have in our hearts to seek out God's truth and to get to know him, I tell you what, God wants us to seek him and to know him, to know his truth infinitely more than we do. Infinitely more. And so he makes this truth available. Notice in verse number 33. And with many such parables, he spake the word to them. And what does the next phrase say? As they were able to hear it. As they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, which didn't just include the 12, he explained everything. What we find here is that Jesus gives his listeners as much as they can handle. To the crowd, he gives parables. To the disciples, he discloses the truths of those parables. Notice a statement here by Ray Stedman. Jesus teaches us only what we can bear, only what we can receive and incorporate into our lives. The beautiful thing about Scripture is that there is so much truth and meaning embedded in its words that you can return to them again and again. Each time you read, you will discover some new truth you never saw before. And how many of us have personally experienced this? Have you ever, maybe you've got a Bible where you could take notes in it, and you go along and you're taking notes, and years later you come back to those notes and you're like, duh. You've written down those notes and you're like, you know, of course that means what it means there. And whatever we wrote down, it was so simple and so elemental, but it was a stepping stone. And it was the truth that God revealed to us at that from that passage at that time. We come to that later and we're like, and we see nothing but a gold mine. We see, back then we saw traces of gold, and now we see how this passage connects to that passage and how it brings us to this truth right here. And we could put this together and line upon line, truth upon truth, precept upon precept. We may have started off very shallow, and yet God, through his Holy Spirit, has made his truth more evident over time. We have more knowledge. We can connect the dots. He's revealed things to us through his word. The Holy Spirit, by the way, the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher ever. And so I might be up here communicating truths, you know, where to the best of my ability, the Holy Spirit who lives inside you can take your truth, help you to make sense of it, the significance of it, to apply that truth to you personally, to internalize it. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. But notice with me, our third point is, when I seek out God's truth, I am given as much as I can handle. I'm given as much as I can handle. So here's your encouragement this morning. Wherever you're at in the Christian life, can I encourage you? Day by day, week by week, month by month, month by year. You and I might be dissatisfied at the point where God has us in the Christian life. We might say, man, if I could only understand a little bit more, if I could have a little bit more knowledge in the truths of God's word, man, what would it be like to know more as a Christian? Here's the bottom line. God gives us as much truth as we can handle. That's what Jesus did with his disciples. What did he say in John 16? He said to his disciples, he says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot what? You can't bear them now. And so Jesus gave the crowd as much as they can handle. He gave his disciples as much as they can handle. And if we follow along with this same theme, we'll discover this in our own lives as well. He gives us as much as we can handle. He desperately wants me to receive. He wants to stir my curiosity, draw me to himself. And as he draws me and as I come to him, he will give me understanding day by day by day. Notice with me number 3. When I seek out God's truth, I am given as much as I can handle. I'm given as much as I can handle. And so a question here for us this morning, are you and I seeking him out? God wants you to know his truth even more than you and I do. He wanted the crowds to know and understand his truth even more than they did, which is why he obscured it, or not obscure, is that the right word, where he veiled it, he dimmed the lights to the point where they could receive it. He desperately wanted to connect with them where they were. And God, through his truth, does the same thing for us day by day. God desires for us to hear his truth. Let me ask you this morning, where are you at? I wonder if there's maybe one of us here this morning where we've never come to his truth to begin with. And maybe the truth about Jesus Christ living and dying on the cross 2,000 years ago. What's the significance? What's the purpose? Why did all that come to be? I mean, if he's the greatest teacher who ever lived, I mean, what's the point here? And the fact of the matter is that Jesus died on the cross for us, that we might be drawn to him, that we might see his love, that we might put our faith and trust in this work that he did for us on the cross to purchase our salvation, our redemption. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ for salvation, the most beautiful picture that this world has ever seen, the most beautiful picture of love is right here, where Jesus, as God himself, came down to earth and paid our sin debt on the cross. You will never find a more beautiful picture of love than that right there. Do you have a relationship with him? Have you come to Jesus Christ and asked him for his salvation? Second, for me and you as Christians, for those of us that know him, does the beauty of God's truth, beginning with the gospel, does the beauty of God and his truth draw you in? Because day by day, line upon line, precept upon precept, God wants to bring us to a greater understanding of who he is, of his truth, of walking with him. Are we responding to his working in our lives? Some days we might feel like, man, if I could have more growth as a Christian and all of that. But the fact of the matter is that he's doing that work in us day by day. Are you and I responding to him in that? I'm thankful that God comes to us where we are at appropriately. He knows where we are at, and so he comes to us with his truth. And the question this morning is, are we responding to his truth? Are we responding to what we see? Let's go ahead and pray together. God, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for coming to earth here and living and dying and on the cross for us and for offering to us new life. God, we thank you for these parables that you told. God, you weren't giving these parables so that people would not hear and understand your truth. You were meeting them where they were, just like you do with us day by day. God, we see how you dim the lights so that it would stir curiosity, that people might come to you and receive your message. God, we thank you and we praise you for your wisdom and how you approached humanity and how you approach us day by day. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you just a couple questions this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you ever personally called upon Jesus for salvation? I tell you what, he wants to give you eternal life. He wants to establish a relationship with you. Has there ever been a time where you have humbly come to Jesus and said, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for paying my debt. For rising again from the dead, Jesus, I look to you and you alone for eternal life. God, I look to you for the work that you did on the cross for me. However you pray that, if God is stirring your heart right now and you've never come to Jesus like that, I would encourage you right there from your seat, you can pray and receive his gift of eternal life. I wonder if you're here this morning and maybe you do know Jesus Christ as Savior. And maybe you sense God drawing you into his word, to his truth, day by day by day. Can I just encourage you to continue to respond? Continue to respond. And God will continue to establish his truth in our hearts and lives as he's promised to do so. Thank God for his faithfulness. And I would encourage you to draw close to him. Seek out his understanding. Come to him and say, Jesus, I don't understand this passage. I don't understand this truth. God, would you please give me understanding? And we'll not figure everything out here on this earth, but God will give us wisdom and insight that we can handle. Thank God for the way that he grows us